it seems I can hardly go, but still I see victory. Many times I'm walking by faith, and I can't see what lies before me, but still I see victory. And I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by His love. You may spare, you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
And I'm reminding you,
you can't cross.
Seems that we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I think I'd turn around and give up too. Oh, 'cause I believe you're about to lose.
Seems that we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock of ages. So Satan, if I were you, I think I'd turn around and give up too. Oh, 'cause I believe you're about to lose.
And the devil knows that too. He knows that better than we know that. He can't cross the bloodline. He wants to bring fear and he wants to bring torment, but there's only so much that he can do, and he knows that. Amen? There's only so much that he can do, and he knows that. Everything is Father filtered. Everything goes through God. He is in control, not the devil. Amen. I'm going to ask those watching by Facebook to share this message this morning. Share the service if you would. I have a word that I believe that the Lord has given me today, and I hope that that's the case every time that I minister the Word of God. There's an urgency in my heart today. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Ezekiel, all the children, age 5 to 12. Thank you, brother. Age 5 to 12. They just give me this strange look, and I'm like, what did I do wrong? Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I require at the watchman's hand. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again that I can preach the unsearchable truths of Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would make me as an oracle of God today. Lord, I'm asking you to touch every heart that's in the sanctuary of those watching by Facebook. I pray that you would anoint our ears, oh God. We want to hear the voice of God. We want to hear the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. I pray that you would prick and penetrate us tonight, this morning. I pray for unction. I pray for divine penetration into our hearts and our souls. We ask you these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on America's last call to repentance. There are certain messages out there that the Lord will give preachers, especially, you know, when you preach a message that's difficult, that even makes my own flesh. I don't want to hear it. I want to hear something that's going to make me feel good and kind of give me a little something to shout about. But I'm going to tell you all the word is good. Amen. It may be hard to chew on sometimes, but I can tell you if you'll eat that word, it'll bring help to you. My flesh doesn't want to hear because I know that impending judgment is coming upon America. We don't want to hear it, but hear it we must. I understand America. God has blessed America. Can I get a witness in this house? I'm glad that I was born in the United States of America. I oftentimes wonder, why did God allow me to be born in this nation where there's freedom of religion? I can go to church on Sunday morning. I choose to go to church on Sunday night, on Wednesday night, prayer meeting, revival services. I can open my window right now, currently in the United States, and pray without fear of being put in prison. We live in a country of opportunity. We live in the most prosperous nation that's ever been known in the history of the world. We often think about how much we're blessed in America. Yes, we're blessed in the natural, in the monetary, but really, how much are we blessed when it comes to the things that are spiritual? But I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that whenever there's prosperity, when there's material things, oftentimes the people of God will grow cold and indifferent, and they begin to move away from the things of God. Oftentimes, when you have everything that you need, you will forsake the altar of prayer. Come on, church. We've all been there. We've all done that. I've done it myself. Whenever you don't have to pray, we oftentimes won't pray, and that's whenever we get lukewarm, cold in our soul. Sin enters in, and we become an enemy of Almighty God. I'm here this morning to tell you God is dealing with the church. I believe that His coming is nigh at the door. It won't be long, and those eastern sky is going to roll back like a scroll, and Jesus is going to rapture the church of the living God out of here. We're going to see Christ as He really is. We must be ready for the coming of Christ. I know that our freedoms are under attack right now in the United States of America. But I can tell you, it's still 10 times better than any other place in the world. Amen? We're under attack, especially the born-again child of God. But it's still better than any other place. But make no mistake about it. America is becoming increasingly and increasingly more wicked as the days go by. It was Leonard Ravenhill who said this: if God doesn't judge America, He's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen to me, Sodom and Gomorrah had no Bible. They didn't know about Jesus. They didn't know. They didn't have a Savior that could they could get washed in the blood like we have. They didn't have the truth. But the Bible says in Matthew 11 and 23, Jesus, His words, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." What is He saying? What He's saying is we have a whole lot more. Now, He's talking about a different nation. We have more than Capernaum. We have more than them. Or Capernaum. I can tell you this, God Almighty, He loves America. He wants us to repent. But we've got to come back to the foundation of the Word of God. And as a watchman this morning, and a watchman over Harvest Time Church, a preacher of the gospel, I'm going to blow the trumpet in this last day. I'm going to say, sound an alarm. Jesus is coming soon. But if the rapture is tarried any longer, I believe impending disaster and judgment is going to come on this land. Ezekiel makes it very clear in our passage when God brings a sword upon the land. If the watchman does not warn the people when judgment is coming, the blood of the people will be on the watchman's hands. That's that preacher out there who preaches everything sweet, who doesn't tell you all the Word of God. Why? They want to build that congregation. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the more people you have, the more money you have. Well, I can tell you this. I ain't preaching for money, never have, and never will. I'm going to preach the unsearchable truths of Christ. Why? Because it's right, and I'm going to stand before the Almighty God, and this preacher's not going to have anybody's blood required on my hands. But if the watchman warns, he says, and the people do not repent, their blood is on their own heads. Oh, listen to me today. When you have heard the truth, and everybody in this house has heard the truth, I'm going to tell you, there is no excuse. What we better do is start walking in the Word. God, He's tired of all the excuses. Can somebody drop the tempo a little bit? God's tired of all the excuses. It's time to walk in the Word of the living God and be a doer of the Word and not just a hearer only. Oh, church, it's time to get serious with God. God wants you and I to begin to walk in His ways. I'm not going to stand guilty before God. Brother Matt, how do you know that if the rapture doesn't take place very soon, impending judgment and disaster is coming to the United States of America? Brother Matt, did you have a vision? No. Did I have a dream? Absolutely not. All I did was study the Word of God. You can study the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, and you can find a pattern of God's dealings. Let me tell you something. God has never changed. The Bible said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to change. He doesn't change with the times. Anybody who says that the Lord is evolving with the times, I can tell you the devil spoke that to them, and they believe the lie of the devil, because God is not evolving with the times. I heard some
preacher on the radio say, somebody played a recording of another city, that God, if Christ was alive today, he would accept a lot of things that the Bible says he's against, because Jesus evolves with the times. I'm going to tell you, that's a doctrine of Satan himself. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and my God changes not. If it was right back then, it's right today. If it was wrong before, it's still wrong today. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a hold of the Word of God. Stand on God's truth, and the truth will make you free. I've seen no visions. Just studying the Word of God, just studying the Scriptures and seeing the pattern. That's exactly how Daniel realized Jerusalem would be rebuilt and inhabited again by the Jews. How did Daniel know? He studied the Word of God. He knew that once again the Jews would end up there. He just simply studied. And looking at this pattern in the Word of God, I believe God is sending America's last call to repent. Something many people do not realize: in all nations that backslide, God will send prosperity to that nation right before impending judgment. Does it make sense, does it? You say, well, if God is sending me prosperity, if he's blessing me, I must be in his divine favor. I've seen a lot of people like that. I've seen people in the Pentecostal church world that they no longer serve God the way they're supposed to, but because they have money, somehow they've come into some money, or maybe God's prospering their business, and they think, well, how could I be wrong if God's blessing me? You better think again. The prosperity in any of our lives, in a nation, is oftentimes the very last thing right before God sends judgment. Why does he do that? Now, first of all, I'm going to say, throughout the Scriptures, we detect a pattern from God. Whenever a nation turns away from God, he sent them warning through prophets, first of all. If people did not respond to the prophet, God would oftentimes send violent storms and drastic weather changes and plagues to wake them up. If that didn't work, God would send them one final message. He inundated them with prosperity. I can tell you that's exactly what God has done to America. Do I believe America is blessed by God because we founded our nation on the Word of God? Yes. Do I believe that God has stayed the hand of judgment because of our missions around the world and preaching the gospel around the world? Yes. But I'm going to tell you, we will not escape impending disaster. We will not escape the judgment of God. If we do, this whole Bible will have to be rewritten. Now listen, stay with me. I'm going to end up with some good news at the end. You might be a little discouraged right now because you're thinking, I'm just going to live my whole life to about 85 years old and everything's going to be rosy. Well, that may take place if you're 82, but I'm going to tell you this, Jesus is coming back soon, and we may have to suffer a little bit, but Jesus said, if you suffer with me, you're going to reign with me. Heaven ain't a bad place, ladies and gentlemen. Everything that we do, everything I've been living for and preaching for, is on the other side of glory. This world has nothing for me. I've already tasted of it, and it's not joy. It is suffering. It is anguish. It is emptiness. Oh, but I can tell you, I have tasted of the things of God, and nothing in this world can compare to God's goodness. Amen. He would oftentimes, at the very end, send them prosperity, inundate a nation or even an individual with prosperity. Listen to Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God. What is the Lord saying here? In essence, he's saying, my goodness to you is meant to reveal your unworthiness and humble you. But if you continue to despise my blessings and walk in blatant sin, you're only storing up my wrath against you. What is God doing when he blesses us over and over again? He's not putting a stamp on your life, ladies and gentlemen. He's not saying, just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing everything right. That's why I gave you all this money. That's why I'm blessing you so much. No, what he's saying is this: I love you so much, and I'm trying to get a hold of you. Oh, come Come on. I've seen it too much in the church. Do not mistake it. Samson, he thought because the Spirit of God was constantly on him after he broke his Nazarite vow, God never left him. Over a period of time, he thought everything's all right when it wasn't all right. Oh, listen, it's God's mercy. It's God's blessings that he inundates us with to get a hold of our hearts. Let me give you a few examples of societies that prospered just before judgment came. Consider the days of Noah. Prosperity was their last mercy call. You know what the story of Noah. The land increased with wickedness more and more. The Bible said every imagination of man was on evil continuously. All they could think about was wickedness, sexual thoughts and ungodly things, violence, and they were proud and arrogant people. Their minds were on evil continuously. Listen, you say, well, nobody knows what I'm thinking. It's not hurting anybody. God knows your thoughts. He knows my thoughts. He knows every thought and intention of the heart, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible said when God saw that man grew more wicked and more wicked, what did he do? He sent them a preacher of righteousness, a man by the name of Noah. I'm going to tell you something. When a preacher is a preacher of righteousness, he doesn't preach a candy-coated message every Sunday morning and Sunday night. No, sometimes he has to blow a trumpet. He has to call out sin. He has to tell the people, you got to come out from the world and touch not the unclean thing. A preacher of righteousness, Noah stepped on their toes every once in a while. He probably drove away some people, but he still stood on the word of God and he preached the right acts of God. He said, you must be separated. You must repent. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He warned them of impending judgment. God's great mercy call was then prosperity for 120 years when Noah started preaching. He started preaching and prosperity came for 120 years while that ark was being built. All that time, prosperity. Luke 17, 26 refers to this event and it says, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. I'm going to tell you, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In one day's time, one day they're eating, drinking, giving in marriage, and everything's all right. It wasn't a progressive judgment coming. It was impending disaster when the rain came after the door was shut and they were in that ark. I'm going to tell you, judgment can strike America in one moment's time. Listen, you think COVID-19's bad? It's only a drop in the bucket. God is a righteous God. He's a holy God. And we have stuck our finger in the face of God and ignored the word of God. And we have become a people who are not holy according to the word of God. God has sent us prosperity. He has blessed our finances. He has blessed our home. And the goodness of God is not leading many in the church world to repentance. It's just causing us to think that he approves of our lifestyle. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, be not deceived. Oh, listen, everything can change in a day. Consider the days of Lot. Prosperity was their last mercy call. Sodom and Gomorrah enjoyed the same booming economy that Noah's society enjoyed. They were prosperous. They had everything. Matter of fact, the king of Sodom had just been giving victory. Both kings, the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah, had just been given military victories in war. You'd think, well, that's automatic sign. God is with us. He must approve of what we do. They had military victories. And Ezekiel chapter 6 tells about their financial state. Ezekiel 16 says, and this was the sin of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, idleness of time, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And the Bible said, this is what God said. She didn't strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. What did he do? He got them out of that city, Lot and his family, and he rained fire and brimstone out of heaven and killed every one of them. But Jesus, he's such a loving God. You better know he's a loving God, but he is a holy God, and he has already died on that cross, and he expects us to live in that light and are separated unto him. Listen, all the excuses go out the window. He is a holy God. They were full of bread. They had abundance of idleness. That means they worked a little bit and rested a lot. You ever heard the terminology, an idle mind is a workshop of the devil? You go ahead and just sit around and you don't get busy when it comes to life or the things of God. I'm going to tell you something. That mind will start imagining things. Oh, and that mind, whenever you begin to imagine things, a lust starts in the mind and then goes from the mind to the heart. Whenever lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, every single time, sin brings forth death. We got to understand this. They had prosperity. And then just in a moment, it was all over with. Consider the fall of Babylon. Prosperity was her last mercy call. Revelation chapter 18 predicts a graphic scene of a prosperous society falling under judgment in a single hour. Who is Babylon in Revelation? Well, theologians differ when it comes to who they think Babylon is, but many believe it's the United States of America. Everything that you see in here, when you read Revelation chapter 18, that Babylonian spirit, you can see traces of America. You can see the same spirit in America today. Listen to me. Whoever Babylon is, it was struck with unparalleled prosperity, but suddenly they had an economic collapse all overnight. It happened quickly. Well, Brother Matt, wait. What about 2 Chronicles 7:14? We're the people that's of God. And he said, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and I'll come and heal their land. Doesn't it say that? Listen, as a church body, we can do that and he'll heal our home. But I can tell you, I don't see the nations of the United States of America humbling themselves. I don't see them turning from their wicked way right now. And as a nation, we're talking about as a nation as a whole. What I see is debauchery. I see more abominable acts. I see things taking place in the holy place, in the sanctuary that is ungodly. I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to escape the wrath of God. You are going to be preserved if you'll stay in Christ. But there is going to be an outpouring of God's wrath, or this whole Bible will have to be rewritten, and it ain't going to be rewritten. Heaven and earth is one day going to pass away, but God's word is going to endure until forever and ever. Oh, listen, ladies and gentlemen, God's word is true and right. Prosperity is the only thing that matters to Americans. I'm gonna deal with some things today. Might make you a little mad, but like Brother Taylor said, you'll end up getting glad, hopefully. Prosperity is the only thing that matters. We're looking at the economy today, and we make our decisions based on things that God doesn't make his decision based on. America is right now on the brink of a financial holocaust. If you don't believe that, you have stuck your head in the sand and you are not paying attention to what's going on. Do you know what the national debt is? It is $28 trillion. $28 trillion. We are creating money. We are printing money that we don't have. We can't back the money. And I did a little bit of research on that. There are 328 million people in the United States right now. Do you know how much, if you divide that into 28 trillion, by the way, if you pull up, you can Google this and it shows how it's increasing, 28 trillion, and it's increasing every second. If you divided 28 trillion by 329 million people, that is $86,842 per person, including children, debt. 87,000. of everybody that's in the United States. We're not going to pay it back, ladies and gentlemen. I can tell you this, one day that dollar's going to collapse. It's going to die. And you say, well, Brother Matt, what am I going to do? What about my Social Security? Well, I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But I can tell you this, God's always done it. There is a pattern in the Word of God, and He does not change. When God decides the American dream, hear me, the American dream is going to turn into an American nightmare. When God decides it, it's going to take place. Do I want to hear this? No, I don't want to hear this. I had a man call me not very long ago, a great man of God, and he asked me, he said, Brother Matt, he said, I'm calling some minister friends. What do you see is going on right now in the church world? This was a few weeks ago. And I said, well, I do see judgment coming. But I also see revival coming. I also see God moving by Spirit. I don't have just a cry of judgment. I also know the hand of God is mighty in the land. And whenever judgment comes, that's when people are going to turn back to God. If that's what it takes, send it, oh God. Listen, we're in this. We think that we're going to keep the American dream. And that's what our desire is. We have plans. We have plans to see this thing all the way through and hope we just die this little peaceful death. Oh, when we get, and then we're just going to gently cross over. Well, I can tell you it may happen that way, and it may not. But I can tell you, he said, be not afraid of them that can kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will tell you, I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him after he hath killed the body, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. When God decides, the American dream is going to turn into an American nightmare. Let me name a few sins that we can commit that cause us to become lightning rods of God's judgment. Are you ready? I'm just going to name a few. Hands that shed innocent blood. Proverbs chapter 6. These six sins doth the Lord hate. Now, when it specifically says these six things, God is not only against, they're not just sins, but God hates them. Are you ready? A proud look. Pride. A lying tongue. Well, what about if it's a little white lie? A lying tongue, God hates it. Hands that shed innocent blood, that's abortion. A heart that deviseth wicked imagination, somebody that's always thinking wicked thoughts. Feet that be swift run to mischief, that person that's always following the ambulance. Now, come on. They're always wanting to get in and find out what the problem is. And then they're always wanting to see the trouble. They always want to get caught up. Hey, what's going on with this brother or sister? What's going on here? I can tell you, feet that are swift to be in mischief. I'm going to tell you, that's a problem, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and what's the last thing or the fifth thing? A false witness that speaks lies. Two times. Two times he deals with lies. And the last thing, he that soweth discord among the brethren, talking about your church brothers or sisters to somebody else in the church and causing discord. God said, I hate it. Oh, it's not just a sin. God said, I hate these sins. And I can tell you, God is not going to turn his head away from the millions and millions of babies that have been murdered in the United States of America. I know we've heard about it for years and we almost become callous to it. We just forget about it. We say, oh, it's a terrible crime. It's a terrible sin. No, we need to get a burden again because God, every single child that's been murdered, their blood is crying out to a holy God. And God hears that cry, ladies and gentlemen. We better get our thinking right in tune with God's thinking. Hands that shed innocent blood, God's against them. Hear me today. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I am a Christian. And that means this. I can tell you both parties are wicked. If you don't, now come on guys. I know everybody in here probably almost everybody in here voted for the closest thing to the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. If Trump is saved, that altar up there saved. Amen. Unless he just now got saved because he cusses. He has the Bible says sweet water and bitter water can't flow the same fountain. Come on, people. I want to tell you something else. The Bible also, we know that he's had more affairs than you can shake a stick at. He's proud. He's arrogant. Would I rather have him than the other ones? Well, absolutely, positively. Listen, but I can tell you, he ain't no saint. We better get back to the book. Well, I can tell you, I know the gas prices has gone up since since Trump's been out of office, and I certainly I'm not for that man. I can tell you that. He's against the Word of God. At least the Republican Party's a little bit closer to the Word of God. But I can tell you, I'm not going to vote for a man because of the economy. I'm not going to vote for a man because of social issues. I'm going to vote for somebody that's as close to the Word of God. And I can tell you, one party's against abortion and one is for it. We better open our eyes. We better, amen? We better stop playing dumb. Well, no, what's the closest to the Word of God? Not what mama voted or daddy voted. We better, listen, we're not going to get away with it. You know what I'm trying to say? One, listen, the Republican Party too, they're for same-sex marriage, many of them. I'm just going to vote for the lesser of the two evils. I know I've just lost some of y'all. I mean, y'all put Trump right there with Jesus, but he ain't even close to Jesus. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. It's time that we get back to being a blood-bought child of the Most High God. We are biblical. We are Bible-believing Christians of the Most High God. The blood of every murdered child is crying out from the ground. Listen, another sin that draws God's judgment to a nation is homosexuality. It's not your ordinary sin. It is not an ordinary sin. Now listen, I understand that all sin is God's against. And I understand sin will separate you. The willful sin will separate you from God. Hebrews 10:26. Now, I'll first quote 10:25. He says, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves in assembly. So much more as you see the day approaching. That means don't skip church to go watch a football game. Don't skip church to go hunting. Amen. I'm not saying you can't go out of town and go on vacation, but I'm talking about consistently. I'm talking about you put God first. He said, don't forsake. Don't skip church to go shopping. No, God's got to be first. I'm not talking about some religious, legalistic practice. I'm talking about putting God first. It's an attitude of the heart. Ladies and gentlemen, he says, don't forsake the gathering yourselves in assembly. Then he says in Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of the sacrifice, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. I don't want to sin willfully, but I can tell you, ordinary sin and the abominable lifestyles, two different levels. The homosexual life cuts lifespan by about 20 years or more. Why is that, preacher? I don't want to say in the midst of this congregation. You go study it yourself. It's wicked. It's wicked. It is against the natural way that God planned things. I'm going to tell you, the depression, the depravity. Most homosexual partners, they have over 100 before they die. It is a wicked, ungodly lifestyle. Listen, I can tell you, in Sodom and Gomorrah, listen, it's a bottomless pit. And just like pornography, you never get enough of pornography. It always goes to another level. Listen, you can look at, you start looking at swimsuit magazines and then you get to another level. I know this is uncomfortable preaching, but I got to. Hey, but the Lord done told me in that word that if I don't preach it and you go ahead and fall into that sin, then I'm going to be guilty of your blood. Your blood's going to be on my hands. But I can tell you, this church has had enough preaching where I'm free. But I can tell you, it's always a level. It goes from one sin to another sin. Most serial killers in America, every one of them, they've traced back to the 1950s, have been porn addicts. Every single one of them. Hear me. It's not normal. It's not just a natural sin. It will destroy your mind. It'll mess up your marriage. It'll cause you to go crazy. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it will separate you from God. And in Sodom and Gomorrah, the majority of those men were homosexuals. They grew politically and powerfully, controlling everything. They had a spell that was put on every boy and man in that community. And listen, God saw that wickedness was so great that he sent two angels after Abraham interceded and God said, no, I cannot spare the city. God sent two angels. When the angels walked through the gate of that city, they walked through that gate, that homosexual community saw them, and man, them angels, they wanted them. They wanted to gang rape those angels. The Bible said they followed them to Lot's house. And the angels had already gone in. The two angels had gone in the house, and they beat on that door and said, Lot, give us those two men. And Lot's like, hey, guys, I don't think you understand here. Let me give you my two daughters. Now, listen, I don't understand why he ever did that. I'd rather them kill me and destroy my life before you get my family. But he did, nevertheless. And the Bible said that they wanted them so bad that they declined the ladies and they wanted the men. And so the angels smote them with blindness right there at the door. And in their wicked demon possession, they grope for the door. You say, well, Brother Matt, that's not where we are. That's where we're heading, ladies and gentlemen. It's a demon-possessed world out there. It's real. And I can tell you, I don't know that angels cry, but if angels could cry, I believe they cried that day. They had to smote them with blindness. They were outside of those doors of that house, and then they had to get them out of that city. I'm going to tell you, America is racing towards judgment. You say, well, we're not there yet. We're heading towards there, and you and I, we better stop watching the movies and the sitcoms that portray all that garbage out there. Before long, it will desensitize you. If you ever accept that community as normal, even in your household, you've just rendered yourself helpless to help them, and you're backslid yourself on your way to hell. You say, preacher, that's hard preaching. Well, let me just say it like this. If the Bible said it, the Bible is right. That's God's eternal word. And if I don't agree with God's word exactly the way it says it, I'm in sin. I'm away from God. Listen, he didn't give any suggestions. This word is truth. It has to change me. I've got to line up with it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, love them, care for them, pray for them, but don't ever accept that lifestyle. Don't ever put your stamp on it. I'm seeing it all over America right now. They're coming under the curse, that spirit, that demonic spirit. Listen, if you watch that stuff, before long, you're going to think it's okay. It will be, you'll be like a frog in that water. You know the analogy, you put a frog in boiling water, what's that frog going to do? It's going to jump right out. But if you put that little frog, we had some boys on the men's camping trip that ate a little frog. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That was good. That boy was one of them. I wanted one of them frog legs, but it wasn't enough to go around. But if you put a frog in lukewarm water and turn it up slowly, what's going to happen? That temperature is going to rise slowly. It won't be long. You're going to be eating frog legs. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We get desensitized because we're in the world. He said you can be in the world, but not of the world. I believe us being apart, loving them, preaching the gospel to them, but you've got to draw a line. You got to figure this thing out for yourself. Where is the line, preacher? Well, listen, I don't know where it is with you, but you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But my Bible says, save yourself from this untoward generation. Listen, you can't try to save someone else and lose your own soul. It's time that we come out from the world. He said, I'm a holy God. Be ye holy as I am holy. The flashpoint for the judgment of God comes at the very hour that a militant homosexual community rises up and attacks that which is divine and holy. The flashpoint of judgment happens at the moment when that which is holy is attacked by that militant homosexual community. It's happening right now. It's happening. Look around. I don't want to know everything that's going on out there. I'm not going to study too much because I don't want to know. I don't want my mind subjected to that garbage. Amen. Listen, so-called Christians are changing their view. I've heard preachers, prominent men of God, who say this, my view's changed on this. It's evolved through the year because their child came out as a homosexual. Pray for that child. God can still deliver the homosexual. God loves the homosexual. Listen to me. God can deliver, but you cannot ever put your stamp of approval on that. If you do, you're doomed. It's over. We must agree with God on everything. Can someone come to the piano? God is also grieved over the sudden moral breakdown of those who call themselves Christians, but in millions of homes We have cable, DirecTV. I didn't say that was a sin, cable or DirecTV, but what is a sin is when you can sit in and drink in the filthy, shameful, wicked immorality. Whenever you can watch things on television, here's what, when I was at the Pensacola Revival, now, he didn't have to preach this to me back in the 90s. I mean, when I got saved, I just got saved. I didn't want that filth in my ears. I done got filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, man, I want the Holy Ghost to fill me every day. I was a brand new Christian. And I whatever I had to do to remain sanctified and set apart, I didn't want to lose what I got. And I remember Steve Hill at the Pensacola Revival, he'd say this. He said, if you're watching anything that Jesus wouldn't watch, with profanity, the mildest profanity, and you don't turn that channel, you're in sin, sir. And I'm going to tell you, I was like, man, somebody can preach this. Listen, we entertain, we feed, we drink in adultery. Would you allow somebody to commit adultery on the front of you when you're on the recliner and they're on the couch? Well, we do it every day. When we watch that filth and perversion, it'll mess up your mind. You'll wonder why you're having thoughts about somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband because you're watching affairs. Oh, listen, it's time, church, that we allow the Holy Ghost to convict us, change us, transform us. He is a holy God. Amen. Be ye holy, for he is holy. You say, preacher, that's too hard. I don't believe like that. Well, that's what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what I believe or what you believe. What matters is what the Word of God says. I say it all the time. You can go to any church, change churches. The truth doesn't change. I'm all about a modest, godly look for a man and a woman. But I know too many, they ain't holy. I've seen them in this church. I've seen them outside this church. I believe in modesty. I believe in being separated, looking different, acting different, talking different. But whenever you're jealous because you didn't get a part or somebody else come in and they're talented and jealousy's eating you up, you ain't holy. You need to repent. Or you talk about everybody. You say, Brother Matt, you must know something. You wouldn't believe this. I don't hardly hear anything from anybody in this church. This is not a perfect church. I know that. And I don't hear people say, oh, this person's talking about you. I've heard it through the years. It's very minimal here. It's amazing. So I want you to know, nobody's called me. I don't know anything about you. I just know people. I know me. I can be bad all by myself. You hear me? I can be bad all by myself. I know this flesh. My flesh stinks. It's against God. So I know. I know exactly what goes on. I've counseled a lot of people. The watchman is warning you today. The Lord has given America a last call to repent. Has he blessed you? That doesn't mean he agrees with everything you're doing. Doesn't mean that he doesn't. We need to discern our lives according to the Word of God. Are we lining up with the Word of God? Listen, I'll never arrive until I get to the pearly gates and I embrace my Jesus and see him as he really is. I'm striving to enter into the straight gate. I'm going to tell you, I'll never be holy enough. It's Christ that makes me holy. I stand in his holiness, in his righteousness. I can't do enough, hear me? I'm not saved by my works. I'm saved by his grace, his mercy. But I can tell you, when you get saved, he said, come out from them. He said in 1 John, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let us walk in the light. Can we stand? Okay, Brother Matt, what's going to happen to us? I'm going to give you the good news real quick. I said I was going to end with a good note. Brother Matt, you done made me feel bad today. Sometimes the Word of God makes me feel bad. But I got to feel bad in order to feel good. I got to make sure that I'm right. Sometimes we get so caught up and we get so focused in on the world that we're like, man, you just messed up my whole plans. No, we got to get back to the book and find out what God says is going to happen. Okay, preacher, what's going to happen to us? Are we going to get to avoid Are we going to get to avoid all the judgment of God? Some of y'all are still mad about Trump. Amen. I voted for him. I'd vote for him again. He's closer to the, hey, he's helping the Christians. But stop putting a halo on that man's head. That's ridiculous. Amen. If I can get you past that, you can hear this last thing. Please hear this preacher. This last thing I want to say to you. What's going to happen to us? Are we going to avoid everything that's going to happen? Is God going to preserve us? No, we're in the world. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Just know God's going to keep his people. How's he going to keep us? Well, he's my financial advisor. How many of you have a financial advisor? My financial advisor is Jesus. I take counsel from good, wise, godly men and women, and I have throughout the years. But he's not only my financial advisor, he's my protector, he's my counselor, he's my doctor. Listen, whenever this whole world gets turned upside down, I thank God for the wisdom that God's given doctors. But he's my doctor. I can call on him. We're going to get back to trusting the Lord. We may not have all the medicines and all the things that we have access to now, but I can tell you what we have, what we're going to have, is far better than this world. He is everything. He's my advisor, my protector, my counselor, my doctor. Hey, I don't know how he's going to do it. I just know he's going to do it. And guess what? It's going to look different with every one of us. It's going to look different. His provision. Let me give you a few examples. He's going to look different, but we got to know his voice for us. Okay? I want you to hear this. They that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. During COVID-19, I didn't have any preacher I could call and I could ask counsel. I had to be led by the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful place to be in. Because I was praying and listening to his voice constantly. Oh God, speak to me. I'm here, oh Lord. Speak to me, Lord. I'm here. And I believe that this church was led by the Spirit of God. How are we going to be protected? Well, when Noah, in his generation, God said, I'm going to send a flood. It's going to wipe out all living creatures on the earth. But he said, Noah, I've got some dimensions for you. I want you to build a boat. Okay, Lord. It's a big, big, big boat. Study the dimensions. He built the boat, and all of his family was saved. I don't know what kind of boat God's going to give you, but he's going to give you a boat. I didn't say you weren't going to suffer, but I can tell you, you're going to get through it. You're going to get through that hard time. Suffering in... Noah suffered, ladies and gentlemen. He was on that boat with all them animals, all them, I'm telling you right now, that's suffering right there. But he got through. When destruction came, it rained 40 days and 40 nights, but he made it safe through the storm, and you're going to make it safe through the storm. Look back at Lot and his family. God decided he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone, but here's what he said. I'm going to send angels to tell Lot and his family how to get out of there. I'm going to tell them exactly what to do. They just got to follow instructions. Here's what happened. He said, those angels said, at a certain time, you head towards the mountains and don't look back. What a spiritual application there. What he's saying is forget about that. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't look back. Some of them followed instructions, but Lot's wife, who is unnamed, didn't follow instructions. It was simple. Don't look back. Obey God. The instructions were very clear. God even sent angels to get them out of there. The ones who followed the instructions, hearing his voice, made it to safety. The mother, why did she look back? I think that she had too much there. Maybe family members that were left behind. Maybe the love she had for Sodom and Gomorrah, that was a very prosperous city. She didn't want to let go of it. I want to let go of my house. I don't want to let go of this stuff. She looked back. She lost her life. What about David and Ziklag? Whenever David saw the city was burning, his wife and the men, their wife and children were kidnapped. David wanted to hear the voice of God. He could have went and attacked the Amalekites and justifiably. That's what I would have done. But David knew better. He said, Lord, do you want me to do this? He started asking him questions. Lord, I'm going to wait on you. He heard his voice, and when the Lord gave instruction, he followed and got the victory. What about Elijah? Whenever a drought came and trouble came on that land, three and a half years of drought. I think it was 3 years of drought. What happens when there's a drought in a society like that? Everybody suffers. There's no food. There's no provisions. The jobs are gone. But whenever Elijah found himself at that brook, Cherith, God sent a raven with a quarter pounder, I think Brother R.W. Shambach said, and dropped it right there in front of him. You say, man, that sounds kind of exciting. I'm glad you feel that way, because we're going to be led by the Holy Ghost. God wants us to hear his voice. Yes, yes, I believe that God has sent one last call to the United States of America. Do you hear me, church? He's sending a last call to individuals in this place today. Do not think everything that you get, give God glory for. Whenever God gives you a promotion, a raise, a house, a car, give him glory and honor and praise. But don't automatically think just because you're being blessed, God approves of me. Because it could be the other way around. He's sending that prosperity, sending those blessings, because the goodness of God, he knows, can lead you to repentance. Please hear his voice today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Father, I've preached what you give me to preach. I believe, Lord, that you're going to send judgment, but you're also going to protect us. Oh God, I'm crying out to you today to speak to us by your Spirit. Whatever it is you're trying to say individually and collectively, let us hear your voice. Oh God, Lord, if there's anyone in this house that's unsaved, I pray you'd save them today. I'm going to ask you to come out. If you're away from God, I want you just to lift your hand. If you're not saved, you're a backslider, you've maybe never been born again, I want you to lift your hand real high. I'm going to pray with you today. God wants to save you. God sees this hand right here in the back. God loves you, young lady. Right here, God sees this hand. Anyone else in this house, you say, I need to get saved today. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. He died. Many Bible theologians believe that Jesus died naked on the cross. They stripped him of his garments. He died openly. Death, ridiculed, mocked, spit upon for you. Don't be ashamed of him. He wasn't ashamed to die for you. Anyone else in this house? Two hands were raised. I want to pray with these two people. What about it, child of God? What about you? How do you feel today? Do you feel as if maybe you've allowed some things to slip? Well, God loves you and has a plan. That plan is for you to come back and get it right with God. He wants you to repent. Listen, if you repent of that sin, repent, acknowledge it, verbally speak it, and then walk away from it, he'll forgive you. That's how good God is. He didn't come to destroy you. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He loves you. I don't care how bad you are, how far you've gotten away from God. God has a plan for your life, and he loves you with a love that's never changing. I want us all, the two that raised their hand, if you could come, I want to pray with you. And then I want others to come and stand around this altar. I want us to come in close. Those that came up, that raised their hand, I want to pray. This young lady right here. Isn't the Lord good? God is so merciful. He is so good, so kind. Anyone else?
Revive us, oh, baby.
Let's come in close.
And take control.
The Lord is in this house today. God is in this house.
Holy Ghost, revival.
Hallelujah.
Revival.
I feel His presence in this house. He's merciful. Jesus is merciful. It's time to detach from America, from the American dream. Get your mind on things up there. If He keeps us here another 20 or 30 years, praise God. I'm going to look for Him every day, but I'm going to live and work like He's coming back tomorrow. I'm at perfect peace right here, right now. Living like He's coming today, also working like He's not going to come for 20 more years. Can we lift our hands to heaven? I want Him to just talk to the Master, whatever He's speaking to you in this house.
Send the rain from heaven to flood our thirsty souls. We need a hope.